Chapter number 2, please. Luke chapter 2. Give me just a little water. And again, thank you so much for being here this morning. We just want to remind you a little bit today of why we celebrate and why we worship, why our lives are different, and especially this time of year as we look at this story today. I want to just speak this morning for a few minutes on just some practical truths that we can learn from the Christmas story. Every so often, this time of year, we hear a Christmas message, and we know the Christmas story, and we learn a little bit about what Jesus Christ. Thank you, Brother Jim. What Jesus Christ did for us when he was born in the manger. And today I want to kind of just bring some thoughts out that hopefully prick our minds and our hearts just a little bit. Just some truths today that we can learn from the Christmas story. Luke chapter number 2, and I pray that you bear with me as well today, because over the last week or so, 3 weeks ago I was sick with strep, and then I got over that. And then I got this nasty sinus stuff. And boy, I've been snotting and sneezing and coughing all week, and finally went back to the doctor and feel a little bit better today. So if I snot on the first few rows down here, I'm sorry. Okay, it's just part of the process. But I pray that you pray for me today as I just try to share a few thoughts that I think will be a help and a blessing this morning. Let's read together Luke chapter number 2 this morning, and we're just going to read the first 7 verses for sake of time, and then I'll share a couple things from our heart today. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee and out of the city of Nazareth in Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, that the days were accomplished that there should be delivered, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Today I just want to just share a few thoughts that the Lord gave me this past week regarding Christmas and how it applies to us today. So let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts this morning as we go into the message. Would you pray with me today? Heavenly Father, thank you again for the opportunity you've given us to be here this morning. And we pray now that you would speak to our hearts, that you would open our minds and our spiritual eyes to what you have for us this morning. Help us not only to remember this Christmas story, but remember how it applies to us today. God, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for you sending your son to this world so that we could have life, so we could have eternal life, everlasting life, life abundantly. And God, we ask for your presence and power to be on the service today. Help me as I speak this morning. I pray that you'd give me the strength that I need to relate the message you've given me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, I want to just quickly talk to you about how this Christmas story applies to us. The Lord began to deal with my heart this week about this particular story in regards to not just about what happened in those days, even though the historical event of Christ's birth is a huge event. It's the reason why we're here today. It's the reason why we celebrate. It's the reason why we worship. It's the reason why we have salvation, because he came on a mission to seek and to save those who were lost. And it started at the birth of Christ. But I don't want to overlook anything in this story as in historical perspective. But I'd like today to share with you some practical perspectives about how this story can relate to you and I where we are today. And this morning, as we think about this story, as we think about how God looks at us and how God uses us and how God can take his story and relate it to us today. I want to just give you 4 quick words that I think we can understand and we can relate to, 4 truths out of the Christmas story that you've read about, that you've heard, that you've sung about, that for probably many of you on Thursday of this week, you'll read over and over and over again to your families. I want to give you 4 truths today that I believe will help us understand a little bit more about how this Christmas story relates to us. The first word I want you to write down this morning that I want to just share is the word purpose. The word purpose. If you're taking notes, write that word down. I believe this will be important for us today. It's awesome to think that this story was designed by an almighty God to come to this earth to fulfill a huge mission such as Jesus Christ had, and that was to seek and to save those who were lost. That was to die on a cross. That was to pave the way so that you and I could have everlasting life. Now think about the great plan that God had. Now stop here for a moment and think about how he carried out his purpose of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Through Mary and through Joseph. God carried out his purpose through two young people. He carried out that plan to fulfill his mission through two human beings such as you and I are today. When I think about purpose, I think about God's plan and God's will for our lives. God could have chosen any path to bring his son into the world. God could have designed any plan to distribute the salvation to all men. But he chose Mary and Joseph to be used of God in a great way. Can I tell you how this relates to us? Is that God has a purpose for your life. God has a plan for you. God has a will for you. God wants you to live for him and do for him as he did for Mary and Joseph. God has a purpose for you. You say, Brother John, I don't understand this. My life seems to be going crazy. I've got all these things and I'm unsure. I'm clouded with confusion. Listen, God wants to use you. God has chosen to use you. Just like the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, God has chosen the base things of this world to confound the wise. You say, I don't understand how God could use me, how God would want to use me. You're right. I don't understand that either. I don't know that either. But listen to me. That's his purpose. That's his purpose for your life this year. This Christmas season, we think about Jesus Christ and we think about Mary and Joseph. We must think about that God, just like Mary and Joseph, has a purpose for my life. That God has a plan and a unique path for my life that he wants me to serve him in. Think about the many great people throughout the Bible that God had a purpose and plan in using them. Think about Abraham. How God used Abraham from the very beginning to establish his people and his land. Think about Moses. God used Moses, a man that couldn't speak very well, a man that in all rights was very timid and quiet. He used Moses in a great way. That was his purpose. That was his plan. How about Joseph? How God used Joseph greatly for his children and for his brothers. Think about the great King David. Boy, how God used a young shepherd boy. You don't think God has a purpose and plan for your life? Look at this young shepherd boy that was out keeping the flock, out keeping the sheep. And Samuel came and said, God wants a king. And looked at all his brothers and said, none of these will do. And they brought the little brother, the little shepherd boy, and said, he's the one. God had a purpose for David's life. Yet even beyond that purpose, David was an adulterer. David was a sinner. David did wrong. And yet God still had a purpose and plan for his life. God wanted to use him. I think about Samson. I think about Samuel. I think about Gideon. Gideon was so weak and how Gideon was so ignorant and how God used Gideon in 300 men. Think about Joshua and Jericho. Well, you just go on and on and on how God had a purpose and plan for their lives. Listen to me today. If you are breathing, God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for you being here. God knows exactly what he wants you to do. God knows exactly how he wants you to live. It is our job to fulfill the mission and the purpose that God has called us to. Listen, I know for a fact today that many of you have been listening to the voice of the devil. I know for a fact that many of you have been listening to the voices of the world saying that you're next to nothing, that you don't have a purpose, that you just need to meander and wander and kind of blend in the crowd. No, listen to me. God's not asking for perfect people. He's not asking for people that aren't messed up. He's not asking for people that's got it all together in a picture perfect frame. God is asking for people who are breathing, who will be willing to serve Him because He has a purpose for your life. What if Mary and Joseph said no? What if they said, no, I can't do it? What if Joseph would have ran? I don't understand this, God, how Mary could be pregnant. I didn't do this. I'm leaving. What if they just said no? See, God has a great purpose for your life. And everybody in here has a choice whether you fulfill the purpose and the plan of God for your life. How does the Christmas story relate to me? Just as God had a purpose and a plan and a will for Mary and Joseph to fulfill, He has the same for you. Number two, I think another truth that we can learn from this Christmas story is obedience. Obedience. Obedience is something we learn as a kid. It's a song we sing. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. We learn that from a kid. We learn from a kid with switches and paddles and belts to obey. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. I used to have to go cut my own switch. Anybody have to cut your own switch? Goodness gracious. I'm still scarred and marred and bitter about that. My dad was a high school principal. And listen, the school that I went to was K-5 through 12. And if I got in trouble at school, I'd get a spanking at school. But when I got home, I got another spanking at home. That's not right. That's not right. My dad, like he forgot all about it. Like he went from different modes. Like principal mode, you get in trouble at school, you get a spanking. Then we got home, dad mode. It's the same person. Did the same thing. You know, you don't have to do that. Pray for me. I'm working that out, you know, and just kind of get it out of me. We learn from an early age about obeying and about being obedient. Think about this story. I want you to just think about how this story began to take place. God told Mary that she was going to have the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, but that she would not be impregnated by another human being, but that that which is conceived is of the Holy Ghost. Now think about Joseph finding out that his spouse wife is pregnant. Think about the story. Think about the words. Think about how it all began to unfold. I mean, how this story of how Jesus Christ came into the world was crazy. It's just nuts. But wait a second. Mary and Joseph had an opportunity to hearken or to yield and submit to the very will of God for their lives, and they both chose to obey the Lord. This Christmas season, may we not only think of the birth of Jesus Christ as it relates to our lives, but may we also think of two human beings such as we are today as Mary and Joseph that followed the will of God and said, okay, Lord, this may not make sense in my mind. This may not bring to the sanity of my brain, but I'll say yes. You see, we look at Scripture and we find other examples in Scripture how the mind, the human mind, tells us this doesn't make sense. God told Abraham, go sacrifice your son, your only son, Isaac. You remember that story in Genesis chapter 22? And the Bible says that he went to worship. And that day, God would provide Himself a sacrifice for Abraham. Can you imagine in your mind God telling you to do something that mentally, humanly speaking, it doesn't make sense? Think about the stories, as I mentioned a moment ago, think about Joshua and Jericho. We've been going through this on Wednesday nights in our survey of the Bible. You know what he told them to do? march around Jericho 7 times. And after the 7 times, blow a trumpet, yell, and the walls are going to come crashing down. Now, that doesn't make sense, does it? You ain't got a bulldozer. You ain't got any explosives. You ain't got no weapons. You ain't got a hammer. You ain't got nothing to knock those walls down. All you're going to do is march around the walls 7 times and yell and hoop and holler, and the walls are going to come down. That's what God said. That's what God said. You know what they did? They did exactly what God said. And you know what happened? The walls came tumbling down. You see, this is a great opportunity for us to understand, when God asks us to do something, we should do it. Simple as that. We should obey the voice of the Lord. We shouldn't doubt or confuse what God is asking us to do. We should obey it. And I'll be the first to tell you that I'm not the most spiritual. I'm not the most obedient. But when God asks us to fall in line with His Word and with His voice, it is our job to obey. Now think about this. It is always better to obey God than to hearken to the opinions of man. Can you imagine the voices and the conversation that begin to go around and there where Mary and Joseph lived? Did you hear about Mary? Did you hear about what happened with Mary and Joseph? I know nothing like this in Bryson City ever goes on. Did you hear about that person? Did you hear about that? And maybe they could have listened to the voices of those around them, but instead they chose to listen to the voice of God. I don't care if we're living in 2014 or 1914 or 2114. It is always the right thing to do to listen to God over listening to man. And listen, I don't care what our government says. I don't care what our leaders say. I don't care what anybody else says. When God says it, it supersedes everything. We obey the voice of God. Today we have a great opportunity to understand that obedience is the only way for a child of God to fall in line with the will of God. What is God telling you today to do? What is God begging you to do? What has God been pulling at your heart to do for weeks now? What sin is God asking you to confess? What ministry is God asking you to get involved in? What service is He asking you to do? What is that thing that He is asking you to do that you keep putting Him off and telling Him no? God's asking you to be obedient. You know, the truth of the matter is, God doesn't ask a lot of things of us. God asks for our obedience. If you follow the children of Israel through the Old Testament, you know what God asked them to do? God asked them to do time and time again, all I'm asking you to do is just to hearken unto my voice. Obey my commandments. Just do what I ask you to do. And every time they did, God blessed them. God favored them. And I'm not asking you to obey God because you're going to get something in return. That's not what I'm asking. And I don't think that's what God's telling. All I'm saying to you is this. It is better to obey than sacrifice. God is looking for some people here today that came to hear about a Christmas story who will leave this building this morning with this understanding. I will do what God asked me to do. Isn't that what Romans chapter 12 says? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Okay, Lord, if you ask me to do it, that's what I do. If you ask me to give this, I'll give it. If you ask me to go here, I'll go. If you ask me to be this, I'll be it. If you ask me not to be around those people or to befriend these people, I will do it. God, you ask and I will do it. That's what I want to do. We learn today about purpose from the Christmas story. We learn today about obedience. Third of all, today I think we can learn another principle, and that's contentment. Contentment. Boy, this is a message that needs to be preached this time of year. Look what the Bible says in verse number 7 of Luke chapter 2. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Boy, there's so much in that verse. We don't have time to really dive into the truth that's there. But let me just talk for just a moment about contentment. The Bible says in the New Testament that Jesus Christ left riches or left heaven and became poor to come to this earth. Now, you're talking about poor. How many were born in a hospital? Let me see your hand. You're born in a hospital. How many were born at a home site somewhere? How many were born in something other than those two? Like in a car or... Okay, good. No weird babies today. All right. The Savior of the world is born in a barn. Right? There's two particular things that we need to notice in this verse. One is where he was born. Two was what he was born and wearing. The Bible said they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. These are dead man's clothes. This isn't baby clothes. This isn't a onesie, you know. The New Jerusalem Gap onesie, you know, they didn't have that back then. These are dying man's clothes. Basically, these are leftovers, things that they had that nobody else wanted. They wrapped the Savior of the world in. There was no place for him in the motel. There was no place for him in a room. So they put him in a barn. May we, as modern day 2014 Christians, may God help us understand this difficult principle of contentment. For the majority of people in this room, and I would say majority, if not every single person in this room, you are in a huge percentage of people that, according to the rest of the world, would be wealthy, recognized. You know, we have cars and we have homes. All of you look nice, with an exception of a few people I won't name, but Todd. All of you have all the blessings of the material world. And yet many of us gripe and complain about what we have. It's sad to say that there are many people this week will not have a Christmas. And yet beyond not having a Christmas, they won't have heat. They'd be happy to have a pair of shoes or a nice jacket, a good meal. And yet many of us are raising our families and our kids up thinking and believing that everything is about them. We live in a selfish society, me included. Sometimes we go so overboard with, it's all about us. And I'm thankful that this church and many of you have shown that, especially this time of year, it's not about us. Many of you got cards on this Christmas tree and you brought Christmas gifts, and many of you have given cards and gifts and been so kind and are giving of yourselves. Listen, let me stop for a moment and just say this. May God help us to learn this principle of contentment. That's what Paul said. Paul said, I learned how to be content. In other words, it took me a while. I learned that whatever I have, God wants me to have, and what I don't have, God don't want me to have, so I'm content with that. I wonder today if this week, instead of complaining about what you didn't get or what you don't have, why not thank God for what you do have and what you do get and how you are blessed? I guarantee you, if we start right here and we go across the room, we would stay here the rest of the week because we'd have so many things that we could lift our voice in a hand and praise God and thank God about. Isn't contentment about perspective? It's about looking not at the things that you don't have and the things that you covet or lust after, but it's looking at what you do have. Hey, first and foremost, I have Jesus Christ in my life. Can I get an amen right there? I have the Savior of the world who died for me. I have a family. God's blessed me with material things that I do not deserve. I think we can learn from this Christmas story about Jesus Christ as He taught us living in this, being born in this barn in a dead man's clothes. We can understand a little bit about contentment. Last of all today, I just want to share one of the truth that I think is important for us to learn on this Christmas season. Number four is the truth of worship. Truth of worship. Now, we didn't read this passage of Scripture, but I'll read just a couple verses now. If you look in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8, and they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you, and you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, we as a generation of Christians have been trained and really primed to worship God when the mood and the setting is right. I think that's all well and good. The service is good and the music is good and everything is all okay. I think we've been trained to praise God or worship God when everything begins to get right. Think about the setting of their worship. They're out in the field. I mean, nobody's around. Sheep. And they begin to worship God. I believe this morning that if we are truly a child of God, if God lives within our heart, if Jesus Christ is our Savior, that our very worship begins privately. It begins when the congregation is not around, when the piano's not playing, when the music is not stirring, but it begins when the thought of the Savior begins to filtrate our minds. Glory to God in the highest. When's the last time you worshiped God? When's the last time you lifted a hand and praised to Him? When's the last time you praised and said, oh, what a Savior is mine? When's the last time you praised Him for sending His Son to this earth? When's the last time you thanked Him and worshiped Him and knelt and worshiped and praised God for taking away your sins and removing them as far as the east is from the west? When's the last time you praised Him for being who He is? When's the last time you praised Him for Him being your righteousness? When's the last time you praised Him for Him being your peace and your joy and your portion in life? When's the last time that you praised Him for Him being a friend to you that sticketh closer than any brother? I think this morning we can learn from this Christmas story that no matter if you're in a field or if you're in a palace, or if you're in church, or if you're in a bathroom, if you're in your car, you can still praise and worship your God anywhere at any time. Well, I get a kick sometimes just going down the road, praising God, worshiping God, singing, and just looking at people and just kind of freaking them out, you know, like, praise God. We learn today from this story that these shepherds we're invited to worship a holy God. You know what God invites you to do today? He invites you to worship Him. The Bible says that He inhabits the praise of His people. That He desires and wants and loves and He invites you to lift a voice and have a heart of praise and worship to Him. And just as I said a moment ago, you don't have to do it here. I think it's good to do it here. But it's important that we do it, that we praise and that we worship God. What can we learn in 2014 from a real live story that happened thousands of years ago? What can we learn? We can learn God has a purpose for our lives. He has a plan. He has a will. He wants us to follow it. We can learn about obedience. God is asking us to obey, to fall in line, to submit, to yield to Him. I'm thankful that He's chosen us. He desires of us to do something. We can learn about contentment, thanking God for what we have. And we can learn about worship. May we decide today to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, not just as a baby, but as the crucified Savior of the world. Let's pray today. Father, thank You so much for allowing me this opportunity, Lord, to share my thoughts that You've given me. These truths that we can learn from Luke chapter 2 about Mary and Joseph, and about Your Son, and about the setting of that day. Thank You for allowing me to get through this and for giving me the strength that I need to preach this morning. God, today, these four truths that have been broadcasted, I pray that this morning You'd help us to fall in line with Your will. Help us to find our purpose and live it out. Help us to understand that You have a purpose and a plan and a will for our lives. And God, You desire of us great things. God, help us to obey You. Whatever You ask, help us to be obedient. God, help us to learn contentment in the day in which we live in a selfish society. God, help us to be content with how You've blessed us and who You are in our lives. And God, help us to worship You this morning. That it all started this season. It all started with the birth of Your Savior, with Your Son as our Savior. God, help us to worship and praise You today. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to stand all over the building. No one's looking around. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Would you stand with me? I'm going to ask Miss Gail just to begin to play softly as she plays an invitation song. If God spoke to your heart, you can do business here at the altar, there in your seat. Just talk to the Lord. Maybe God is burdening your heart to worship. Won't you worship Him this morning? Praise Him for who He is, for how He came, for what He came for. Maybe this morning God is giving you that message of contentment that your family, that your marriage, that you as an individual need to understand and learn, even today, to be content. Possibly God wants you to obey Him. Maybe He's telling you to do something. Will you fall in line? Will you say yes to what He's telling you to do? Would you say yes? She's going to continue to play. Maybe you've been struggling with your purpose. There's a few folks here at this altar. Would you come right now and join them and say, God, help me this Christmas season to take these truths and apply them to my life, my purpose, my obedience, my contentment, and my worship. God, speak in your heart. You come. Would you do business with Him this morning? Fall in line with what He has for you. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around. She's going to play another verse. Would you take this moment of just quiet and respond to the Holy Spirit? Would you let Him speak to you? Would you respond to Him? Yes, Lord, I'll obey. Yes, Lord, I'll learn this principle of contentment. Yes, Lord, I'll fulfill my purpose. I'll do what You ask me to do. Yes, Lord, I'll worship You and I'll praise You for who You are and what you've done to my life. Heavenly Father, today we bow with humility to say thank you for sending your Son to this earth. Lord, that we have a purpose and we have a reason for our existence. God, this time of year brings so many thoughts and so many things to our world, but God, may we never let our minds fade away from the true meaning of Christmas. The Savior of the world came as a babe in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. God, may these principles that we heard today, may these truths be applied to our hearts this week. God, may we fall in line with your purpose. May we obey what you're asking us to do. God, may we learn contentment and may we worship you this week as the Savior of the world. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here this morning. We ask for your blessings this week on each family, on each life, those who'll be traveling, those who dealing with losses of loved ones over this last year. God, we pray for comfort and strength for all of those. We ask your blessings now on this week. In Jesus' name, amen.